while Mrs. B and I had a pretty poor experience at one of those so-called restaurants a few weeks ago. So that's my rant today, and I'm looking for your comments on the Facebook page. Final guest on this very busy Monday morning, one of my favourite guests. We love having Susie Parchman here, all of our crew and staff here at 101 love it as well, because she's very generous. Not only does she give Mr. Fletch wonderful treats, but she brings goodies for the staff as well. Susie Parchman, welcome back to 101.
Thank you. At least there's slightly different treats, so you don't have to share with
Yeah,
Fletch.
Don't get them mixed up. I've got this is a true story, right? Last time you were here and you put some stuff for Fletch in the fridge, right? And the staff would go, Susie left us some lovely treats. And I went, yeah, have you actually looked? Yeah, they're in the fridge. I said, no, they're Mr. Fletch's treats. But it smelled so good that they could have done that. We were going to talk today, because I know we'll go off, we'll wander off
as we do.
And Gerald, if you're listening, have faith in your missus. Yeah, she's more controlled than you are, mate. And she doesn't need a drone to come in here either. I want to talk about the link between what you feed your pets and how they behave, because it's very similar to kids. You know, if you fill a child full of E numbers, they're going to misbehave.
Absolutely.
And I'm guessing it's a similar thing with
Absolutely.
Nutrition for dogs.
Same. It causes sort of like a brain fog kind of situation. And the thing is, it all goes back to basic nutrition. So it's kind of like putting dirty fuel in your car if you're going to use the wrong kind of foods. But having said that, owning a dog, you know, or as an omnivorous animal, you know, partly carnivore, it's expensive.
That's a good word for Monday morning. Can you spell that?
And cats are obligate carnivores, like they must eat meat. So cats actually, I think, have it worse in the pet food industry as to what's offered to them, but that's a subject for another day. But so it's expensive, and I get that. And I understand that, you know, most people want to own a dog. Most people want to do the right thing. Mm. But it gets expensive. So you will end up trying to buy the best food that you can afford. Sometimes, though, that food's absolute rubbish, unfortunately.
And you know, I have to say, a lot of the stuff, let's use supermarkets, no names, but you know, supermarkets in particular. So you go in the supermarket and a 5 kilo bag of biscuits is half the price that you pay in a decent shop.
Yeah.
And you're not doing your dog any favours.
No, sorry to interrupt you then. No, and it's also usually full of fillers. And there is a huge debate about grains in pet food.
Mm.
Now, obviously, and pet food manufacturers run businesses. So their care level, even though they advertise, and we're all suckers for the advertising, they're probably not as concerned about the end result as you should be.
Mm.
And so they'll often put things in there like wheat, soy, barley, all those things to extend their production. So dogs, there's a huge debate about that, though. There are people that say dogs can eat grain and are fine on that. And then there's other people that say that they struggle to digest them, and so that's why you end up with these resulting problems. I went to a house not long ago. These people called me and they wanted some help figuring out diet and things with their dog. Yeah. And I walked into their house and the smell of that dog knocked me sideways. And I looked at this poor animal. It had been fed a very cheap diet, wasn't very good at all. So, and your skin is your largest eliminative organ. It's the same. So all I could see was this little dog's body was in crisis, and it was greasy and dry at the same time, its skin. Its hair, what was left of this animal's hair was thin, not good quality at all. It was miserable. Its skin was cracking. It was just a mess, but they couldn't afford vet care.
Right.
So, but they also couldn't really afford decent food, so they were at a crisis point. They were going to euthanize their dog because they
How
couldn't
awful.
Afford to treat it. And so that's why I try to say to people, do the best you can with what you've got.
Yeah.
But then also, if you must use a cheap supermarket food, let's say, eke that out with decent vegetables and some meat.
I was just going to say, you know, chicken's not expensive.
No, it doesn't have to be.
$9 a kilo for decent chicken. No,
but I always say to people, stay away from things that are advertised like as pet mince in the butcher. I know butchers will be throwing things at the radio if they're listening to this, but it's like often that's just ground up rubbish that's full of fat and stuff that's not good. So, you know, dogs as omnivores, that means they'll eat meat and they will eat vegetable and plant matter. So they do like some grasses and things. So they'll eat pumpkin, sweet potato, zucchini, rocket, kale, you know, some herbs, those kind of things that are not expensive.
Yeah, he eats all of it. Fletch eats all of that stuff that
you just
mentioned.
That's fantastic.
And,
yeah.
And he loves it. And, you know, he loves his chicken, and we do. Mrs. B can't do this. I will go and I'll buy lamb's liver because he loves that. And I'll, you know, chop it up, fry it up and whatever. And he goes nuts for that as well. Mm. And he has, we think that he has a great diet, and he's very... You know, you've seen the pictures. He's a very happy boy.
He is a very happy boy.
But when we first got him, because he was in foster care, and I think very similar to the story you were telling, the lady who was looking after him didn't have a lot of money, and he was on the cheapest food from Aldi's that you could imagine. It was one of those roll things.
Oh, yeah.
And when we got him, and, you know, to be honest, as a new dog owner, having to pick up after him wasn't pleasant. Mm. And I guess that's another way to find out if your dog is eating properly.
Yes, absolutely.
What about this link between, and, you know, you talk about grains and stuff, because, you know, humans are allergic to some people are wheat intolerant, and you know, it can cause all sorts of allergies. Mm. What we noticed with him when we first had him, he had a lot of trouble with his paws. He was licking his paws all the time, and the vet that we went to said, oh, he might be allergic to certain stuff, so we tried to eliminate, and he's a lot better now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And often it starts with the feet. I'll say to people, once you start noticing that their feet, and usually people don't really notice until their feet are starting to look that ugly brown colour. And then it moves to the ears. And then it's usually, it'll become sort of a whole body involvement thing.
Yeah.
And it's very expensive to treat. Very expensive. And I've seen people, they'll spend thousands on ELISA testing, like the trying to find a specific allergy.
Yeah.
Or they'll do, there's all these different immunosuppressant drugs and the things. And I say to people, that's fine, treat your symptoms. I understand that. But wouldn't you like to find the cause and have a happy dog? It's very, very, very expensive. It's so expensive to do. There's a very popular treat in the supermarket. It's widely advertised. It's in a red bag. And dogs apparently go wacko for it. It's got sugar in it.
Yeah.
Sugar.
Yeah,
sugar doesn't form a natural part of a dog's diet. They'll have a sweet tooth, sure. They'll like it like we do.
I know what you're talking about. It's crack for dogs, we call that, because they go nuts.
It's terrible stuff. Yeah. It's terrible stuff. And I think people, if I could say to people, start reading labels and have a look at things. There are some dehydrated treats on the supermarket shelf as well. And if you read the label, one of the things it says must not be fed to cats. Now, cats can eat chicken, so I was like, why not?
Yeah.
And then I read the ingredient list, and it has either ethylene glycol or propylene glycol, which is antifreeze. It's highly toxic to cats. And they put that, they treat these dehydrated pieces of chicken with this stuff to keep them pliable and extend their shelf life.
Yeah.
And then, so sometimes when I'm talking to people and I'll say, let's talk about diet, they'll say, no, the dog's been on the same diet forever. It can't be that. And I say, it probably is that, because it's a slow process. You've now reached your critical point now. This is your tipping point. And I say, it's not like you wake up one day and you are a type 2 diabetic. That's something that's gone in the process of a bad diet over time. And so once people start thinking, oh, maybe, you know, this, and I'll look at the ingredient list on the bag, and often I'll see things that will say meals or meats, and that can be anything. That'll be ground up anything off a carcass, anything.
Yeah.
So you don't know. You need proper meat. If you're going to feed your dog meat, give them meat. But they also need offal in their diet as well, so organ meats like liver, kidney, pancreas, tripe.
He loves it. He loves
that's
it.
That's his natural diet.
He loves the liver, and then we'll do chicken mince, we'll do all sorts of stuff. He loves all
and
that.
And just throw some heart and giblets and all that sort of stuff in there, because if you think about if they were catching and killing their own food, they would eat everything.
Yeah.
So that means they would eat organ meat. They're going to be eating some liver. They'll be eating the gut contents. Now, in a chicken, for example, though, a chicken's probably eating grain. It's the only time that I think that the dog's okay, because it's already pre-digested. It's already started to break down in the animal's crop, in the bird's crop. So that kind of stuff is fine. But you're not going to find a dog in a wheat field.
It's very true. And so people laugh at us, you know, when we say what we give him, you know, because we don't buy anything that says for animals. You know, if we can eat it and it's safe for him, then that's what
he has. That's right. That's what you should do. Yeah.
Although I have to say, Mrs. B's, she's not keen on cutting up any of the stuff like liver or heart or whatever. It doesn't bother me.
I don't like her
either. Yeah, but you know what? It's done.
I don't mind. No, it's done. That's right. Yeah,
and he's quite happy with that. But, you know, we've done that from the very beginning.
Mm.
But again, it's about education. It's about, why is my dog behaving like this?
Mm.
I said to you at the beginning, if it was a child, you say it's E numbers.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. You put sugar in a dog's diet or anything that they can't digest, so it tends to sit in their gut as sludge. And a dog's digestive system is designed to be quite rapid.
Yes.
Because sometimes they are scavengers and they will eat carrion or they will eat whatever they can find. You think of street dogs in India or Thailand or somewhere, even though they're rangy looking and whatever, and they can find things to eat. If it's not that good, whoop, straight out the other end or they'll vomit it back up.
Yeah.
That's it's gone. And so anything that tends to sit and they can't digest, that's why it's sometimes people will say, God, I'm hardly feeding my dog anything. It's getting fatter and fatter and fatter. That's because the food that they're eating is not nutritionally available to the dog. They're malnourished in a way.
Yes.
They look fat and healthy, but fat's not a healthy state for a dog anyway at all. That's got its own problems. And they'll get fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter. And people say, I'm feeding them less and less and less, but they're still feeding the same toxin. And they're still, you know, just perpetuating the same problem that's going on in the dog. You know, for years and years and years, they don't stop it because they don't think it's the food. They don't get it.
As you know, we've had Fletch now for, coming up for 4 years. And when we got him, he was 10 kilos 8 or whatever, and he's 10'4". And he's been on that level.
Yep.
And every time we go for a checkup, they go, wow. Wow, he's on muscle.
Well done, you.
Know, so, yeah, he gets walks. Do you know what? This is how much I'm obsessed with that dog. Torrential rain last week.
Oh, you did not?
I did.
Oh, no.
He wanted to go out. What could I do?
Oh, the lunatic dog. Oh, that's so funny.
Because he doesn't do his business at home. That's,
does he wear a raincoat?
Yes. No, don't laugh. We've got a raincoat and he's got a hood and everything. It's like, seriously. He's obsessed. So I didn't even come and do my radio show last week, but I still took the dog out in torrential rain to do his business.
My whippet balks like a donkey. He sits down, he's like, I'm not going out there. You can go, I'm not going.
But here's the amazing thing. Now, here's a dog, as you know, who was petrified of anything to do with wind, rain, whatever.
Yep.
He's getting so much better.
But that's because you've done all that work with him.
Oh, but that was your advice. So
No, I can't take the credit. You did that. A lot of people cave in and they give up because they don't get an immediate result and instant gratification.
Yeah.
They forget about, you know, it takes time for him to adjust to that feeling wearing that thunder shirt.
Oh,
for sure.
It
takes time. So I'm so happy that that's worked for him.
Yeah.
No drugs.
The only, no, none whatsoever. And the only issue that we have with him still is when you have thunder. But any other weather, he'll sit now. I mean, this is the bizarre thing. He'll sit and look out the window. He'll watch the torrential rain.
Yep.
No shaking, nothing. That's all.
Oh, I'm so happy. But don't forget, in a way, sometimes their response to storms is perceived as a dangerous thing for him. So it could be a hardwired thing that he needs to find shelter, that it makes him nervous.
Yeah.
So as long as it's not destructive and it doesn't get in the way of anything and he's not, like, ripping things up, trying to get out or in or whatever, you let him have his little space, let him get over it, don't comfort him through that.
No, we've learned that as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Leave him be, and look, now he's fine.
The phrase is sort yourself out, and that seems to, that kind of works. Susie, as always, despite what Gerald may think, we always have so much to talk about, we have run out of time now.
Lovely.
If people want to know more, because you are our resident expert here on the show, and if they want to talk about nutrition, where do they get you?
I'm dogwise.com.au. My phone number's on there, so they can call me.
Excellent.
And I'll bring some more food for Fletch next time I see you.
Yes, he'll be very happy. And I tell you what, all our crew here at 101 are very happy as well. Very, very generous.
Covered love.
So, it's a treat.